Welcome to a new episode of Full Access Hoops, an OTG basketball podcast. This is a weekly Full Access Hoops series off ball. This is episode, volume two. It is myself, Corey Waldron, and I'm joined by Nigel Freeman, the audio engineer and producer of Full Access Hoops. You know what's not ideal? Prolonging Christmas shopping. We're getting into Christmas time. We're in the middle of December, and I have not yet bought a single gift because of my fear of how crowded the mall is this time of the year. Yet I'm procrastinating it because of my fear of how busy it is, yet it's only going to get busier. But I can't find myself getting the courage to go to the mall. Send help, or maybe I should guess I do Amazon shopping, but I feel like you never get the right size of Amazon shopping. I got to be honest. I've never ordered anything from Amazon and gotten the right size. Granted, I've only ordered, I think, one thing. Still, that's a sour taste in my mouth. And now, before we get into this new edition of Full Access Hoops, kick your feet up, lay back, and enjoy Run the Jewels. Step into the spotlight. Nigel, my man, All Ball Volume 2, how's it going?
Yo, man, it's good, man. I'm happy to be here. Glad we're back.
First episode, a lot of juice. So we're back for this Volume 2. And what's been going on? What's going on up in Albany? How's work? How's your job? How's the new podcast? We're trying to get on the ground floor, moving up. What's going on?
Man, things are good work-wise. Yeah, I got really two podcasts in the works right now. We got a cryptocurrency pod, and then we also have a cybersecurity pod coming. Those should be up like early next year. And then besides that, my art shit's moving pretty well. Can't complain on that end. And then my photography shit's popping off too, so shit's good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love your artwork. I know you post a lot of it on Instagram. Check him out at Formanzi Media on Instagram for some of his artwork. Looking forward to those kind of pods too. You know, I don't have a ton of knowledge in either one of those areas, so I might tune in, check it out. Be sure too, while you're here, to head to otgbasketball.com. Check out some of the newest content we have out. Evan Dial put out his lineups of the week. Jorge Cantu just did the third edition of our fan choice series, in which he predicted the 2018-2019 Eastern Conference champions. I don't know if I agree. So check that out, as well with Lottie Locke's daily fantasy play that he does, giving you some inside, not inside, but some of his scoops on who to play, on what games to look at to win some money, and the rest of the awesome content we have at OTG Basketball. And also check out the OTG Basketball Podcast Network, of course. So with this episode, you know, it's a big day for me. I don't know if you know what yesterday was for me.
Dude, I actually was just about to ask you, like, didn't something pop off for you yesterday?
At the end of a job.
Yo, yeah, dude, that's, congrats, man.
The end of an era. I'm the chips guy. To those who are listening, I was selling Wise potato chips, Snyder pretzels, Cape Cod chips. I did that for the last 5 months or so. But I'm moving on to a new job. I'm no longer working 3:30 in the morning not really 3:30 in the morning. I got up at 3:30. I go to the gym at 5. So I didn't really start work till 6:30. But no longer working 6:30 to 2:30. Going to be working a normal 7-to-4 shift, which feels ridiculously normal. And also off every weekend. What?
Oh, wait, really, dude? Wow.
Yeah, that's off nice. Every weekend. It's a Monday through Friday, 7-to-4. Decent money. The most money hourly I've ever made in my life. And I'm off every weekend.
You can't beat that. Hell yeah.
I mean, it's manual labor, but you know, I'm muscular. I got some muscles on me. I'll be all right. I'll survive.
You can skip the gym a couple days then.
Nah, chill. Easy with that. Never skip the gym. That's the anchor. That's the grind.
Ah, respect.
But yeah, really excited to get the... Also, what that means too is the fact that I'm going to be leaving the one job is I'll be able to watch East Coast games without a question, but now I can actually watch West Coast basketball games because the last, what is it, 2 months basically, the only time I can watch West Coast games is either one of my days off, which was only Tuesdays into Wednesdays, or on Rewind. So now I get to actually finally enjoy some West Coast basketball.
Luckily, that happened like when the East Coast was actually fun to watch. Imagine you had this type of schedule last year. That would have been so miserable.
Yeah, the Eastern Conference has been a lot more enjoyable this year, no doubt. Especially the teams up top. So I've gotten lucky. And even the Pacers, they haven't had Oladipo, but I've still enjoyed all their games because they still have, they've been winning actually without Oladipo, which is good. So we'll talk about basketball first because something pretty big happened that we have feelings about. And that's the fact that Dwayne Wade and LeBron James matched up for the final time this past Monday. The Lakers got the win. It was like a 3-point win, I believe. LeBron had just about a triple-double. Wade had a double-double with, I think, 16 points, 10 assists.
His first double-double of the season.
Oh, was it? Look at that. Nigel with more stats than I do. they were also going into that matchup. Funny enough, which I find it ridiculous, they had a 15-15 record against each other.
But when was that span when they weren't on the same team, I guess? After the era they won?
I think it's both. I think it's before they were teammates and after they were teammates. It's their all-time head-to-head.
I saw that and it was like really interesting.
Yeah, so they were 15-15. Obviously, LeBron got the last laugh, which, of course, I didn't think Miami would win that game, just kind of how it goes. But so now LeBron wins that head-to-head matchup for their career, 16-15. But I didn't get to watch the game live. I kind of fell asleep. I think at 5:20 that day. And didn't wake up at 2 a.m. But you watched it. So, what were some of your takeaways watching that live?
Yeah, man. That game was good. I caught it during the start of the second quarter. And I think going into the third, LeBron had 9 points. And Wade was 0 for 5. He missed every shot he took until the third quarter. And I honestly didn't think LeBron was going to score more than 15. And I didn't think Wade was going to score any points at all. But then Wade turned up the third quarter. He was dogging. Justice Winslow, I think, was going ham. It was a fun game to watch. Wade didn't square up with LeBron until literally the last 10 seconds of the game, which was a little disappointing because you would assume they would be matched up the whole game, but LeBron would take Wade in any situation. If he was on him the whole game, he would destroy him. So I guess you kind of have to pick your battles, but it was cool. And I saw this picture actually. It was Wade versus Kobe, and next to that was Wade versus LeBron, and Kobe shot a fadeaway, and LeBron shot the same type of fadeaway and scored on him each time, and it was kind of funny to see that he got scored on by both of them the same way.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game afterwards. I watched the condensed version, so it kind of skips a lot of the game. It's pretty much the entire game in just 10 minutes. And I was the last 7 minutes of that game, it was really just LeBron and Wade kind of exchanging buckets. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, as you mentioned, they really weren't guarding each other. They were just exchanging buckets. The game was going back and forth. LeBron had a three at one point. Wade had a nice drive to the basket with a nice up and under reverse. Then of course that last possession, as you mentioned, game's on the line and Wade's guarded by LeBron and LeBron puts the clamps on him. And actually, when that game ended, LeBron and Wade, they embraced, they hugged. And Wade had said right afterwards to whoever, the sideline reporter, and said he knew my move. He knew what I was gonna do. So he locked me up and I had to force out that bad shot, but it's because LeBron knew what I was gonna do. And I thought that was awesome because, as many people know, these guys came into the league together. They were teammates. They won 2 titles, went to 3 finals together. No, 4 finals together. And obviously, they got that tremendous friendship. And it was really cool seeing them get to lace them up one last time. It also is ridiculous to see, them both coming in 2003, where LeBron's career is still, the level he's still playing at versus, where Wade's at. obviously Wade didn't play. Wade played in college and LeBron didn't, and Wade's had more injuries, but I always find that interesting as well.
Dude, there's two things I want to add to that. The first thing was Wade could have won the game or tied the game. He had
an opportunity to win the open three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing is, they both came in the same league at the same time, and then where their careers are is fucking tremendously different. And then on top of that, you could add Luke Walton into this because he was drafted the same year and he's a coach. That's crazy.
I forgot about that too. And Chris Bosh as well.
Chris Bosh.
Yeah, he won some titles with them during their run in Miami.
That's crazy. Yeah. That draft class is deep, son.
I guess we have to say it. What's your favorite Wade and LeBron moment together from that Miami Heat
era? It's going to be the dunk, that infamous dunk where Wade passes he throws off the backboard and he comes down with like the hands out and LeBron dunks it. Is that, I forget how it goes.
It's the Milwaukee Bucks where like, it's the one that like you see when Drake and Future drop What a Time to Be Alive, their faces were photoshopped on those bodies.
Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that was against the Milwaukee Bucks. And actually, that's not even like a dunk that they show in highlights, but that picture is infamous. I agree. That's probably my favorite photo from their era. But if I'm going by like dunks and oop moments, I don't even know. There's so many.
There's so many, dude. It's
ridiculous. So many oops.
That team is just fun to watch, man. Like if you go back and you just watch some of those, like especially the finals when they were playing against the Thunder, like those games are nuts.
Yeah, it's actually kind of, I still find it crazy how they only were able to win 2 out of 4 titles, you know, and honestly, they almost only won one because that in their second title of the back to back, you know, Ray Allen doesn't hit that three.
Yeah, it was
for the Spurs.
That's why Ray Allen's the GOAT. Like, yeah. He honestly is on my top three favorite players in the NBA or history. NBA history is Ray Allen.
I don't know if he's in my top three, but he's definitely one of the most enjoyable players I've watched since I started paying attention to the league. And that LeBron-Wade pairing was just so fun. I wish we got it longer. We only got it for 4 years, and I wish I had that for, you know, 6. And, I mean, we had it for, like, 4 and a quarter, right? You want to count Cleveland, Wade, and LeBron?
No.
we'll just forget about that little step.
Hard hell no.
So, again, congrats to Dwayne Wade. One Last Dance is what he's calling his farewell tour. I'm actually trying to see a Dwayne Wade game. I got to see, like, when he plays the Brooklyn Nets, if I can maybe get down there to the Barclays Center. Really want to see him play in person. I never have. I think
let me know about that. I'll try to make it
a little full access hoops down at the Barclays Center.
Facts. That'd be fire.
Now, so now let's get into what off ball is all about, and that is stuff that's happening off the court. A couple albums we checked out this week. We're gonna go through some reviews. And the first album, what's your first album you want to talk about, Nigel?
Let's talk about the JID album.
What is it called again? DiCaprio 2?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just got put on Devin Jakowski. You're gonna hear his name a lot in this podcast because he gives me, him and me exchange music really frequently. And I saw this album and I downloaded it and I didn't listen to it for probably a couple weeks because I just didn't. And then Devin sent me this album. He's like, yo, you gotta listen to this. And I was like, all right, you know, I just need to get around to it. And I started listening to it, and it's really good. I don't really necessarily like the back half of it, but the first half, I was hooked.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the back half. I don't know why, but the first, like, I guess 4 or 5 songs, really the whole thing, I played on repeat, actually. But the beats were what caught me the most. The beats are fire. And then, like, what he's rapping about, too, like, it's just his flow. His flow, it reminds me of Kendrick's flow, but it's not exactly like how Kendrick would rap, if that makes any sense. Kendrick's will like rap more like kind of like in a loopy type of way, and it seems like JID is a little more in that same kind of lane, but not so much. Fuck, that doesn't make any sense. But I'm just gonna leave that there. And hopefully somebody grabs
it. Just
I hope somebody gets that.
Yes. Well, okay. So for me, like when I'm looking at the soundtrack and the out, like the song, I think I listen to the first six without skipping. I don't listen to Working Out, and then I play 8, 9, 10. And when I get the Hot Box with Method Man and Joey Badass, that's the end of the album for me. I don't listen to tracks 11, 12, 13, or 14. That's it.
Really?
Am I fucking up?
Hold up. I have a list of songs that I actually like. And let me just tell you. Actually, no, you're seems like you're on spot on that one, because the first couple are the ones that I liked, and I didn't like anything else. I would have added them to the list if I did.
Right. Okay. Like, so what songs do you have in the list? What are your top, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 something? What do you got?
All right, so I got Off D's, Slick Talk, Off the Zoinks, and then Mount It Up. It's actually Strawberries is another good one too. I just didn't have it on my list. That was like the first song I heard off, because okay, he performed it on that. I forget who, was somewhere on YouTube. But there was actually another thing I wanted to add about this dude, and this album, why I actually listened to it, was I think I told you this too, was Mac Miller had like a huge part in it. And like when he performed the song Strawberries on wherever I saw it, he was like, always always check on your strong friends, you know what I'm saying? Like that shit's deep, dude. Like, because you don't, like, you always check on the person who you think is like, damn, you know he's not well, but think about the person who is, and like, you just don't know what else they're really like. They could be strong on the outside, but like in the inside they have like this crazy battle. You'll never know without checking on the person. People always have like a wall up. They always kind of hide like the deepest shit. So you never really know.
Bro, I just felt that. That was, yeah, 100%. I'm posting up an Instagram post later today for about kind of like, you know, you've obviously know the some of the mental issues I've had over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 months. And actually that's like in my caption I put with the photo. One of my lines in it is, it must have came from this song without even me realizing subconsciously, and it was, check up on your strong friends. So it was like, even though, you know, the people in your life who are always smiling and, you know, you think everything's good on the outside, if you don't you don't ever know what someone's going through on the inside. Because I think of it like the like a sad clown. You know, a clown is laughing on the outside. That clown is probably like crying on the inside. It's a fucking clown.
Yeah, man.
So I think that's, I didn't really pick up on the connection in between that. But yeah, man, that line is extremely powerful. And I know where I got it subconsciously.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I'm glad I can connect everything for you, bro.
Yeah, connected dots just occurred, everybody. Congrats. Now you see it.
Yeah, but I did have like a couple of things. So on the Slick Talk song specifically, is towards the end about the beat, there's like this triplet breakdown that's fucking fire. And like when I heard that, like, so I'm a drummer, so like triplets are like fucking orgasmic to my ear sometimes. And when I heard this, I was like, shit, I gotta hear the rest of this album, because that's how the album starts. Like, it starts off with Slick Talk,
and right, at first you think it's just like a 30 second intro.
Yeah. And then like that shit comes in, and I'm just like, whoa. Because I've heard of this dude before. I heard I forget what the mixtape or album was called, but the song called Ed, Ed and Eddie. Check that shit out. That beat's fire. Dan put me onto him actually. Okay. And I've been rocking with him ever since. I just really didn't really listen to him. But now I'm listening.
Yeah, I mean, Slick Talk is fantastic. I mean, he sets the tone in that opening song. The beat's really hard. Slick Talk's probably one of my top three songs from the album. And then my other two, I feel like I always have the less popping songs compared to you. I don't know what, I like that though. That's not a bad thing. So I like Slick Talk, and I think 151 Rum is a banger. The beat in that is ridiculous. And I really enjoyed Tide with 6 Black and LMA. song 8 that I kind of
I respect that, dude, and I'm glad that we don't like the same songs, actually.
Right. We got a common connection with Slick Talk, but did you like what Slick Talk, Off D's, and Strawberries? Right, those are your top three.
Off the Zoinkies.
Off the Zoinkies starts off so rhythmic. Is that the right word? Like, I just like you. Because 21 Rum is like a banger, and then it just transitions into like a completely different tone. But like, it doesn't feel like, sometimes when artists set up their albums, sometimes when you go from a hard song to like a really soft song, it just kind of fucks up your vibe. Whereas in this case, like, for some reason, because the first four songs were so hard, that transition came off like really refreshing. Like, I kind of needed to come back down a little.
What was cool though, and I don't know if you peeped this, but there was another version of this album that dropped with an extra bonus song called Hasta Luego. And like, the album cover is different with the Grammy nomination on it, because Matt got nominated for Best Rap Album. And I guess that's kind of like a tribute to him.
Okay, so I did notice that, and I noticed the album cover change, and I had no idea why it changed. I thought he was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna change it. Like, that's honestly what I thought happened, because I remember downloading it before that and before Hasta Luego was on that. So I actually heard that song today at the gym, but I skipped it because I just assumed I didn't like it. So I actually got to go back now and check that out. I was wondering that. So thank you for educating me.
Yeah, man. Like, I know a lot about this music shit, bro. I honestly should just drop everything I'm doing and just fucking become like a music connoisseur and just start collecting records and shit.
I mean, you should do that, and then we should just expand on this off-ball podcast, right?
Yeah, I'm dead ass.
All right, so what are you giving the DiCaprio 2 on our basketball scale? Our basketball scale, basically like a 5-star rating system, but we do it basketballs. What do you got, Nigel?
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5.
I'm right there with you on a 3 out of 5. I think, like I said, I think the first 6 songs, or well, first 5 songs, you don't count the frequency change, the intro song. So the first 5, I think, are solid. And then there's only, you know, out of the last, 7? Out of the last 7 songs, I only listened to 3 of them. So that kind of hurts my, I can't give you anything higher than a 3.5 if I don't vibe to every song. So for me, it's a 3.2.
Yeah. Okay. Solid.
Now, to an album I'm disappointed that you didn't like, but it's okay. It happens. Mike Studd dropped an album, For the Homies, 23 songs. It's the final, we've mentioned this on the last Off Ball. It's the last Mike Studd album. He's going to be just Mike now. Whatever, that doesn't mean anything. He dropped an album, 23 songs. And what are your reactions initially? Because I know you were not a fan.
When you first told me about it, I checked the list of songs, and I saw that it was 23 deep, and I was just like, that's anxiety already, and I haven't even heard it yet. And then it took me a couple days to like warm up to it, and then I actually listened to it, and it just reminded me of like Drake's album, like exactly like Drake's album. And I was like, if I'm listening to something like Drake, why don't I just listen to Drake? And that was my thought process and my impression on it.
It's funny because we've had this conversation in the past where we've kind of heard the similarities between Mike Studd and Drake. Like, even their flows are kind of similar. When Mike Studd gets into like the singing version of himself, him and Drake aren't even, you know, nearly the same. But their flows when they're rapping are very similar. You can tell that Drake has influenced Mike Studd's rhymes. And you know, you make a good point, because this album, it kind of goes like hard song, soft song, hard song, soft song. Like, you're constantly being thrown around in what direction the like what the tone is of the album itself.
Yeah, dude. And it's just like, if you're gonna have like the mix, break it out like Drake did, like separate it. Cause like, I feel like your album would have more of a, what's the word? Oh my God.
More of a flow, continuity.
More continuity to it. And I think that's what it's lacking. I feel like it's kind of all over the place. And I feel like his music is more like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of like how I feel about it. It's just like more of a college vibe to it. And it's just like his music hasn't progressed past that. And I like when artists are they're experimenting with their sound. A lot of the artists that are like my favorite artists, for instance, their albums don't all sound, I mean, they do have like the same type of sound because everyone has their own style, but like the music is always changing. Like I use Mac Miller as a huge example on that. It's like his music when it was when he first started to where he when it ended to the light years difference. Mike Studd is just, I feel like it's the same. And like when you first introduced me to him, I was rocking with him. It was cool. But then I just realized it's always like the same shit. But you listen to him more than me, so you let me know if I'm wrong or not.
I don't know if it's necessarily a college tone. But it's definitely that kind of party-like vibe. Like the hits of the song are of the album and his music in general seem to be very party-based. And then he has, you know, like the softer songs, whereas he has like Can't Say No, which is a song about, you know, not being able to leave like the love of your life. And then like, 21 Sadness, talking about, you know, what comes with being 21 and depressed. Not only Mike Studd's like 28, so that's definitely going after a demographic that he hasn't been in quite some time. I kind of think, just knowing Mike Studd, like just because he has a podcast too I listen to, he's definitely trying to make himself kind of like what our buddy Slick Vision Droid does, where he kind of makes himself like an inspiration. Like he wants his music to kind of have an impact that may be greater than just it being music, like you being able to like connect with like the final song of this album, Keep Going. I don't know if you heard that song. I know it's the last song, so you might have just
it was like one of those softer tone songs, right?
Right. Yeah.
I kind of like glanced through it.
Right. Well, the final song is Keep Going, and like for me, like I tweet Keep Going every day.
Okay.
And actually I started tweeting Keep Going. I tweeted Keep Going before the song even came out. And then he put the song out, and literally the song is the entire context in which I want what my tweet Keep Going means. It's basically, you know, don't stop, keep going forward. Like, and that's pretty much the entire message of the song. It's obviously softer, but that's like the kind of vibe he's trying to put out. Some of the songs are hard and you put out the bangers because you need to bring in some attention, but I think he's trying to become more of an influence through his music rather than being the college. That's why I think he's also retiring Mike Studd. I think, as you mentioned, Mike Studd has that college like connection because he made Mike Studd when he was playing baseball at Duke University. So I feel like he's getting rid of the stud part because that's no longer the type of music he wants to put out. And you're going to hear more of that, like Keep Going, 21 Sadness, Honolulu, which is a complete vibe, where he's kind of changing his music to be more influential rather than like college bangers.
You know, I can get on board with that.
It's going to work. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying it's going to work, but yeah. I think that's what he's trying to transition into.
I mean, you got to kind of like respect it. Not even kind of. You got to respect that. I'll check it out. Like, I'm not going to completely shut my ears to him. He's just not on my list anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's just not one. He's not one of the guys who you're like eager to hear drop music. Like, for me, he's still one of the guys. Like, when he's dropping music, I'm like, oh, shit, Mike Studd dropped something. Like, I'm eager to hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the first song, like, do you like the first song of the album, Wind?
A little bit. I listened to that all the way through, and I was like, it's not bad. The beat's hard.
I think that song is kind of like, if I was trying to describe Mike Studd and what he's trying to be, I think that song's the perfect, the perfect song to kind of like summarize it. It's the fact that like it's got a decent beat, as you mentioned, and he's really talking about like evolving and, you know, you could lose me at some loose change and like just go. It's actually kind of got like a depressing tone to it.
I'm gonna listen to this shit again, dude. I'm gonna give it one more listen. I actually like listen to it and not like kind of skip through.
Yeah, you gotta listen to the lyrics. I don't even think you probably don't even have a song you could say you like, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, see, that's an issue. Like, okay, let me just give you the songs that I like.
Okay, yeah.
So you can have like a basis of ones, which ones to check out. So, Wind, the first song. Big Mood, the next song. Glass Heart. And then And then I get skippy. then I start skipping. But the Time Out, just like song 10, that's probably the best song on the album. It's a banger. And then Honolulu is a vibe. Do It is 2 minutes long, but it's literally Do It. That the song describes what it's all about. And then Frio and Keep Going to end the album, I think, are really good.
Frio was a single, right?
Yeah, he actually, dude, I'm not gonna lie to you, of these 23 songs, I think 12 of them were already singles.
That's really bad.
Yeah, like he was dropped, like, let me actually, I can tell you that. So there's 23 songs. Win was a single, Can't Say No was a single, Lost Me was a single, Mirrors on the Ceiling was a single, Honolulu was a single, Do It was a single, Things I Like was a single, and Frio was a single, and Common was a Frio. So he has, out of these 23 songs, 9 of them were singles.
That's beast. Like, why would you drop that many singles and then drop a beast-ass album? Like, you basically gave half of that shit away.
He's self-produced.
Say it again?
He doesn't have a label. He self-produces everything.
Oh, well, really? He's independent. Okay, that makes more sense.
So that's also why I think I vibe with him, because it's like the only guy I really listen to that doesn't have like a label or a deal. So I think he drops all those singles because that's the only way he can really generate hype, is if he drops the singles. And it has just so happened a lot of his singles were the best songs of the album.
Okay.
So it's time to rate, and you're going to give it a 0, I'm guessing?
No, I won't give it a 0. I'm going to give it a 2.
You can't give it a 2. You don't even know some of the songs. You got to give it a 1.
Listen to the beats. I like the beat. Okay.
All right, so you're going to give it a 2?
Yeah. Off the strength of the beats.
That's a generous 2, then.
That is generous. It's a low 2.
Okay. I'm giving it a 3.5. Because of these 23 songs, I still think I like probably 17 of them. And there's still a lot of songs that I replay value that are in some sort of my rotation on a daily. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. But because you gave it a 2, and I gave it a 3.5, we're settling on what? 2.5?
Yes, you know what, let's revisit this album though, because I really fuck with things that like are motivational and inspirational,
right?
But
we'll put an asterisk next to it, and we'll get your final rating next week on it.
Yeah, because I think I treat this a little unfair, I'll be honest. I didn't give it a fair shot, because after I checked out These Days, I think that was the album, or that was just one of the songs off that.
That was one of the songs on his premiere album. Yeah,
that shit is fire. I like that a lot.
And so then,
say it again.
That was the song Swish.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Swish is with the one that you put me onto,
yeah,
originally, and then I listened to that heavily, and then I just couldn't really fully connect with anything else after that. But he's in like the process of evolving, and I guess you could say rebranding too. So I guess I should give it another shot.
All right, so we'll see the final Nigel Freeman rating next week. So now the last album we're going to talk about on today's show, No Question by Apollo Brown and Locksmith. I actually listened to this today at the gym, and was really blown the fuck away. I gotta be honest. My friend Dev, who we've mentioned numerous times, he sent me this album. It's only 8 songs long, 23 minutes, but I was blown away by the first 4 songs.
The first 4?
Yeah, first 4 blew me away. And honestly, you know, it's only 8 songs, and I don't actually like necessarily the end of it. But Advice to My Younger Self, which is song 2, and No Question, song 3, and Between the Raindrops, song 4. Those 3 songs are some of the most powerful songs I've heard in the last couple weeks.
Wow. This was actually kind of surprising to me. Like I told you before, like I've heard of Apollo Brown. I think I've heard of Locksmith before, but I haven't heard Apollo Brown since like 2012, 2013. And I put this on real quick before when you sent it to me. And I was like, oh shit, this is that boom bap. Like, I love like beats that are like that. So that already kind of like piqued my interest. And then I was just listening to it, and I kind of was able to listen to it all the way through without skipping anything. But the only song that I was able to like go back and listen to again was In My Element. It was dope. I like that song a lot. The beat's fire. But there was one line in there, and I took like a screenshot of it because I thought this shit was fucking hilarious and dope. I slipped the Kool-Aid, but you motherfuckers are gulping. Dude, what? That shit's fire.
That's a good line.
Dude, that shit was fire. But nah, I fuck with this.
Yeah, I mean, for me, my favorite song on this, you know, this 8-track album is Advice to My Younger Self. I was like, I'm on this wave right now where I'm still kind of like rebuilding myself or whatever. And like one of the first verses he has, he goes, you know, "What's up, little fella? I know you're happy and feeling hopeful." And he like starts talking about how like, you know, "I know you play with a sense of love and your heart is noble." Like talking about someone who hasn't been, you know, like beaten down yet by life.
Yeah, dude, like talking to your younger self.
Right. And then, you know, talking about how like, you know, you're not necessarily feeling issues and trauma you're going through. And then he kind of like in the second tone, he just says like, basically, eventually that's all going to fall apart. And he's like, you're going to meet a girl and then, you know, you're not going to necessarily, she's not going to like stick around or whatever. Like, it just like, it gets really deep. And I'm obviously the name of the song is Advice to My Younger Self. And just the way he ends it, and, you know, he goes, "Some advice to my younger self, just advice to my younger self, some advice to my younger self. Even trust could be a vice, some advice." And that's how the song ends. And I was just like, damn, like that was a heavy song.
Yeah, I'm actually, as you're just reading that, I was looking through the lyrics right now. It's kind of funny though, because songs like this, a lot of them get like overlooked. But that's kind of like the big reason why I like Killer Mike. Is because he has a lot of songs where he just talks a bit about his younger self going through life, and then like, "I wasn't doing this and this and this," and then bam, this happened.
Right.
And just I love rappers that could paint a picture for you and take you down like in a time machine with them. Like, that shit's dope.
Like, listen to these three more lines. "Put God before your family and love before your lust. Protect yourself at all times, but truth before trust. Never fuss with ignorant folks. Actions are much louder." Like, that's heavy. Like, that's some. Oh, one more. "You retreat to keep the peace that does not make you that." Okay. getting all ramped up because I just think this is powerful shit.
Yeah, dude, I feel you.
He goes, "You retreat to keep the peace that does not make you a coward." Like that line, I feel like I glanced over. But like, you hear those certain things, like those truly are lessons. Like, that's kind of how like I base my life. Like, I've had numerous times over the last month where I could have went into a situation hostile, or, you know, with every, you know, intent of being aggressive, not facetious, but sticking up for myself. And that kind of song and that kind of verse is just like, you don't need to, you know, like, if save your peace. There's no like anger and that kind of stuff. Like, it doesn't really serve you any good, any purpose.
Save your peace. I like that.
Yeah. So this album to me, I really enjoyed. On my basketball scale, I'm giving it a 4. I don't think it's a five. I'm giving it a 4 because I think you can honestly listen to every song on this 23 minutes long without having to skip a song.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to give this 3.5. I'm going to listen to it some more.
Yep. So yeah, it's 370. So 3.7, we're giving that one. And now is for our segment, Songs in Rotation. What do you got this week?
Let me bust out the book for this one, dude. Because I got a list. So I got, how many songs is this? 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 4 songs.
Okay.
I've been playing faithfully. First one is Rusty, featuring Domo Genesis and Earl Sweatshirt, Tyler the Creator. Okay. It was off the album Wolf. This song has been one of my favorite songs since I heard this album back in like 2012, 2013. I kind of stopped listening to it every now and then because I burnt myself out on this shit. But like, every now and then when I'm looking just to rap a song all the way through, I'll put that on. And it's always nice. Next song's called Sculpted by Haywire. I'm not really sure which album this is off of, but Haywire is like an electronic, they're like an electronic band, and all their sounds, all their music is fire. You can literally just put on any of their songs on shuffle, any of like their albums on shuffle, and it's all a vibe. So like, you should check that out if you haven't already. And then the next one is called Kangu, one of them, don't know how to pronounce it, by FKJ. He's like a electronic saxophone soul R&B jazz artist. Like, I don't even know what category to put this dude in, because his music is fire. I kind of found him on accident, but that shit's a vibe. Like, straight up vibe.
All right, what we gotta do is, I think for the songs in rotation, you gotta like make like a 4-song playlist or whatever, and just send me that, and I'll do the same.
Okay.
That would definitely check them out, because I haven't heard any of those songs.
Dude, you're about to be put the fuck on. Let me tell you, dog.
What else is new?
And then the last one is called "It Runs Through Me" by Tom Misch. This dude is the fucking truth. He's another, I guess you could say, jazz soul type artist. It with like a little hint of hip hop to it.
Okay.
And it's just like, his sound is crazy, dude. He's like from, he's somewhere from like overseas, but he's fire. He's like up and coming, and you should check him out. His name is Tom Misch, and he just dropped the album earlier this year, I think. I've been listening to him like frequently, and you can listen to both of his albums and just all the way through and just not skip anything.
All right, I'm hyped for this new music.
Yeah, man. What have you been listening to, bro?
So my song's in rotation. You know Lil Skies?
I think so.
So Lil Skies, some of my friends finally have put me on him. I don't like all this stuff, but he's got a song called Lust. And it's a banger. It's
Wait, Lil Skies?
Oh, Lil Skies. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lil Skies Lust, that's been in my rotation. Got Friends by Goldlink.
Nice.
That's in my rotation. And that's been my rotation pretty much like off and on. Like randomly, I just like remember that song exists and I just start playing it. It was a single from earlier this summer.
That's what I thought. I was just about to ask you. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's been in my rotation again this week. Then XX Tenacion or whatever, he dropped that album. I mean, he's dead, obviously, on his references. But his album just came out. I know there's the song with Kanye that everyone's been overplaying, which is not good. But he has an interlude right after that song called Difference. It's got like probably like a 1-string guitar in the background, and he's singing about some kind of distance and difference between some kind of lovers. It's only like a minute long, but like, he actually has a really good voice, and I just really enjoy the tone of it. And like I said, I'm on a weird wave, but that song I enjoy. And then Arizona Service, found this guy the other day. He has a song called No I in Team, and again, it's one of those, you know, somebody figuring themselves out and then just like kind of taking off and growing. And that song, very nice beat to it too, and just the lyrics are extremely powerful. I think right now I'm more so on to what the lyrics of a song are prior than like the beats. Like, I'm more focused on what the meaning is behind certain songs. So those are my 4 songs in rotation right now.
Nice, dude. I've heard some of the XX Tentacion, or however you pronounce his name, album, and that Kanye shit wasn't bad, but like, before he died, I completely renounced that dude. I didn't think he was any good. There's too much controversy surrounding the dude now. It's like, I'm not about it. Like, this is gonna sound pretty bad, but like, he's way younger than me, so I know he's not gonna be rapping about anything that I could relate to. But like, then I actually heard, I think it was Sad or Moonlight, one of those two. And I'm just like, yo, what the fuck? This dude's making songs like this. That just threw me off. RIP to little homie. I mean, still don't really necessarily fuck with you, but like, it's always like kind of rough hearing about young people getting murdered.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't want to ever see anybody die or have their life cut short. You know, like you said, some of the music, actually, because I'm the same way. I did not want to listen to anything he put out while he was alive. Like, I just wasn't a fan. And also, he viciously beat his ex-girlfriend. Like, that thing. Like, I think he made her blind in one eye. So, like, this is also, at the end of the day, kind of a piece of shit.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, like, that on top of that, you know, I didn't really want to enjoy his content. Now that he's passed away, you know, I guess I've been more open to hearing some of his songs that he had sent to me.
Yo, wait, dude, hold up. So, like, this kind of ties into everything. So, like, the bunch of, like, SoundCloud rappers that are coming up nowadays, they're all, like, kind of the same. They all kind of have, like, it was 6ix9ine, Tekashi 6ix9ine. Was he, like, a SoundCloud rapper before he got famous? I don't really
know. He's one of those guys who I know.
He's one of them, right? Like, they all are, like, the same wave, like, all into drugs, shit, beating their women and stuff. It's just, like, yeah, this shit's crazy. And, like, a lot of these younger people love these dudes, dude. It's... That doesn't make sense to me.
Honestly, just white kids.
Oh, shit.
I swear. I don't... Dude, this really isn't rap. Like, if you listen to what they're saying, there is no substance to a lot of this rap that, like, 6ix9ine Tekashi puts out. There is nothing of substance to what he raps about. At least I don't think so. You know, I may have a bias because I'm just not a fan of what I feel is, like, these guys to me, like, Lil Pump, he's gone already. Like, I don't hear anything about him. He had one album which was really catchy and trash, and everyone got on the wave because it was like you could just bash your head against a wall because the beat was fire.
Like, he's touring right now, so I think that's the reason why. But he just got banned from, like, a country or some shit because he's just an idiot.
Wow. I mean, I just think, I don't know, I think this new generation of rappers, you know, I mean, J. Cole, like, a lot of the rappers that we listen to and we actually enjoy thoroughly have been throwing shots at these guys for not really being real rap. Like, they make what the masses want to hear, which isn't a bad thing. That's how you make money, that's how you get on and everything else. But I just think there's not, like, as we mentioned before, Mac Miller and how his music has evolved. Is 6ix9ine Tekashi's music ever going to evolve? Is Lil Pump's music ever going to evolve? Like, no, this is who they are. They have really good beats, and they drop one or two fire lines, and they're rapping about nothing, and people can jam out to it. But are we ever going to hear these guys with some kind of deeper meaning or different sound? I honestly can't imagine it.
Did you listen to, you know, it's kind of funny, we've been butchering these dudes' names, but I think his name's Tekashi 6ix9ine. Have you listened to his album?
Dummy, no. Like one or two songs from it.
That was surprising.
You're gonna say it's good? Are you really?
I'm not gonna say it's good. And for me, initially, what grabs me into any album is its beats. That's the first thing I listen to. That's what sparks my interest into anything initially, is the beat. Once I have that established, I listen to, like, a couple of songs and the beats are all consistently good, then I'll start paying attention to the lyrics. And then once I start listening to the lyrics and realize that they're shit, I'm just going to go back and pay attention to the beats. And that's what I kind of did with this album. Like, I skipped through a lot of it. The only song that I actually listened to all the way through might have been the one with Kanye. But beat wise, it was all right. He, dude, shit. Like, he's complete ass. I don't see how anybody can fuck with him.
Okay, so you weren't defending him just now. Like, no, I was wondering where this was going. It kind of felt like you were a defense attorney about to set up some kind of case for him. But I guess I'll listen to that album and we'll probably rank that album next week. I gotta give that a try because I really haven't given it a shot. I don't give any of these guys a shot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, nah, dude, I don't listen to Lil Pump. I heard a Lil Pump song, it was on accident. And that's another thing, a lot of these dude songs are catchy as shit. They, like, mastered how to make things sound catchy, and, like, what really supports them is their beats. That's what rides them. That's what catches everyone's attention, is the beats. And that, because that's what a lot of music nowadays, or a lot of the rap that's been coming out nowadays, the producers are ridiculous. And, like, they don't get enough. Well, they do get a good amount of credit, but not enough. But they really, really boost these dudes.
Right. And they're making music for what scene? The party scene.
The party scene, dude. That's it.
It's about codeine. It's about weed. It's about gangster shit. And it's about women. Like, it's literally for that one area, you know. Whereas, you know, as we mentioned, you know, like J. Cole, Kendrick, Mac, these guys, they rap about everything. There's nothing that they can't touch and make a story out of, or whatever the case is. Like, that's probably the difference. There's like storytelling rap, there's party scene rap, and then there's the guys who can do like both.
Yeah. But now this is the argument anyone can make with what I'm saying, or even what you're saying, is with Mac Miller. I always kind of feel bad just using him all the time, but he's like a prime example for a lot of this shit, especially with younger rappers. It's like his music was codeine, girls, and well, just drugs in general and just girls. That was all he was rapping about. And like, he was 18 at that time. These dudes are young too. So like, maybe give them some more time. Cause I was shut off to Mac when he was rapping about that type of shit. I didn't listen to him. That's just not, and it's just not my music. Like, I barely listen to Future because that's all he raps about too. But as time moved on, Mac shit got different. So maybe that could happen with these dudes. I don't know. Only time will really tell. But that's just something I just thought about. It's like, I gave Mac a try. And I guess that is just, you gotta just give these dudes a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Because technically, I liked Mac's, like, his mixtape. And then his first two albums I really didn't vibe with. And then I got back on Mac. Yeah, I mean, I guess anything's possible. Like, the only thing I will say, in like different, like, Mac already had a good voice. Like, epic flow. Like, even like the songs that were about, like, you know, like drugs and codeine, like, his flow is still on point. I don't necessarily like the flow of some of these guys anyways. But also, like, new rappers in autotone, like,
yeah.
That's just everywhere.
Dude, that is legit. Anyone who's out now strictly uses autotune.
100%. 100%.
That shit, auto-tune. Gross, dude. Like, I'm not to say autotune's bad, because you've seen good examples of autotune. Seen plenty of good examples of autotune. Yeah. But the way that these dudes, you'd have a lot of the artists that use autotune who use it for certain instances. These dudes need it. Like, you know what I'm saying? T-Pain doesn't need autotune. He used autotune. T-Pain can sing without autotune. These dudes suck.
So now to our last segment of the show, your throwback song of the week.
Throwback song of the week. I'm gonna go with Rock the House by the Gorillaz.
Holy shit, that was right out of left field.
Dude, that song is off their self-titled album Gorillaz back in like 2000, I think 2001. Trumpets on this on the I love music with horns, and just that, oh my gosh, that song is just awesome. Check it out.
I definitely need to check that out. My throwback song is No Role Models by J. Cole.
Nice.
Off Forest Hill Drives, 2014. Double platinum, no features. I don't know. I saw this. Somebody that I follow on, I was Dev. He was listening to this album recently. And I was like, damn, that was a good album. And then I threw on this song in particular. And, you know, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. Like, that album is tremendous. And that song, I forgot how much I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yo, dude, I don't listen to that album enough.
I don't listen to J. Cole enough, to be honest with you. He's like one of those guys, I listen to like his album like two times through. I'm like, yeah, that was good. And I just don't put it back on. But that's kind of his vibe.
Did you listen to KOD?
Of course I did. Come on.
Give me a quick rating on that.
It's got to be a 4.
Yeah, my guy. Hey, I'm giving it a 4, 4.5. I love that shit. We got to talk about that soon, too.
Yeah, maybe. All right, I'm writing it down. Next week, KOD.
KOD.
Actually, nice. Next week? No. Next week, we're going to have a J. Cole segment.
Okay, I'm with that. I'm so with that.
We're talking albums. We're ranking albums. Next, we're doing a J. Cole breakdown.
His whole discography?
Yeah. Every
Hell
album.
Yeah.
Every album we'll rank. We'll talk about every album.
Okay, I'm with it.
And that also means I have to listen to J. Cole this week, which I'm completely okay with.
Dude, you're going to be so, like, motivated, it's going to be stupid.
Starting a new job, I need all the motivation I can get, right?
Facts.
Closing thoughts?
Kids, lay off the mumble rappers. They're just as bad as drugs.
Facts. No mumbles, no drugs, especially no heroin. I mean, if you want to smoke a little pot, you know, that's not... We're talking about hard drugs, heroin, coke... No, I mean, if you want to go skiing, do it. No. You can't leave any of that on the pot.
Lay off the weeds.
Lay off the weed. Yeah, no. Be careful. Be extremely careful. Actually, in Rhinebeck, funny enough, dude, Somebody's been putting fentanyl in weed.
Yo, what?
People are dying from smoking weed because people are lacing it with other drugs.
That is so ridiculous. I thought we were so beyond that. What the fuck?
I'm telling you, anything in life nowadays, you have to be cautious. And I hate telling people to have that kind of mentality of like trust no one. At the end of the day, like if it's not someone you've known for a long time, if that's not like a day one or someone you at least know you can trust, be cautious because people are fucking nuts nowadays.
Dude, the world is crumbling slowly, bro, and it's so scary. And nobody's like catching on. Like there's so much shit going on right now, dude, and nobody's seeing it. Everyone's so oblivious.
No, I know what it is, Nigel. People go, it's not happening to me, so who cares?
Ooh. Yeah, man. That's key. That was a key. You just dropped it.
Enough said. So that's gonna do it for this episode of Full Access Hoops. Again, we are an OTG basketball podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on Blog Talk Radio and OTGBasketball.com. Follow the brand on Twitter and Instagram at Full Access Hoops. You can follow me, myself, on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops, KWAL Hoops. Nigel, where can they find you on social media, brother?
On Instagram, you can find me at Fermanzi Media. And on Twitter, you can find me on Miles_Free.
And that's going to do it until next week or until the next episode of Full Access Hoops. Peace out, knuckleheads.
Peace.